about acres.
Make sure you get 10, Jim, in here. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, it is 6 p.m. on Tuesday, January 24th, 2023. We'll call the common council meeting to order. Let's stand and say the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Weagle.
Here.
Varga.
Here.
Middleton.
Here.
Crowder.
Here.
Romano, absent.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on January 10th. The only change I saw or corrections I saw was under Christmas lighting, the actual direction northwest, northeast, southwest, southeast needed to be capitalized. But anything else you found? Okay. Could I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dan, second by Jenny. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Next up is the swearing in of our new firefighter, Tom Rosie.
First of all, if you're here for Kyle and swearing in, I'd like to say thank you. A support group from friends and family is much appreciated by those that serve. So thanks for being here for him. Kyle, if you want to come on up. Situation. His dad is also on the Warsaw Fire Department, so if he wants to stand up here by Colin, that'd be great. I'll go on the other side. Help with that. There you go. Yeah. Yeah, we'll share.
Are you ready? I.
Colin. Iden.
Swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
Swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the State of Indiana.
The Constitution of Indiana.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
And I will faithfully and impartially.
Discharge my duties.
Discharge my duties.
As a Columbia City firefighter.
As a Columbia City firefighter.
Of the city of Columbia City.
Of the city of Columbia City.
According to the law.
According to the law.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
For those that were here for the swearing in, you're welcome to leave if you so choose. You're welcome to stay for the meeting, but I don't really recommend that.
Yes. Thank you for coming and supporting our new firefighter. Die property. So just for the council's awareness, tonight all we're doing is really accepting the petition. So So effectively, this in a public meeting accepting, or not necessarily accepting, but just notifying that we have received a petition for annexation. The actual ordinance and public hearing will be held. So the first reading of the ordinance and the public hearing, not in that order, will both be held on the second meeting in February, and with the ordinance up for adoption potentially the first meeting in March. So all that is on your agenda for tonight regarding the annexation is actually the petition for annexation that we've received from the County Dye, from County Dye on the property of 1660 East to 250 North. And Marcia, you said we don't take a vote on that, correct? Just a notification that, that we have received a petition and
filed with city to proceed.
Yep. Okay. So ultimately, that's the schedule. As you're well aware, there are multiple steps in the annexation process. We have to go through not only the ordinance to accept that, we have to go through a public hearing, but we also have the fiscal plan that will be presented, I think, at the what meeting would you
probably the March.
The March first meeting in March. Oh, the second meeting in March. I'm sorry.
I think we're gonna do it on the second anyway.
Second meeting March. Okay. So in March we'll get the fiscal plan for the actual property. Keep in mind that the property in itself is agricultural in nature right now, and that's how we would be accepting it as a part of the ordinance. Any development on that land would take place obviously through plan commission and all those kind of things. So any questions about the process?
I don't think there's any questions. I think there are some misconceptions. There are some, I did not see it on Facebook, but some people have called me on this issue that was concerned about the annexation and what all it's entailing and what's all going to go on out there, and maybe some of the neighbors out there.
Okay.
And so I was kind of concerned about proper notification of the residents nearby, because I'm getting some phone calls from that, and so I kind of have to admit, if I was them, I'd be a little concerned also. So I did check with Nathan, and there was a parade that there was going to be a hearing tonight, and I said, I'm pretty sure it's not going to be a hearing tonight, also, if there was a hearing, it says in the statute that it's supposed to have a 14-day notification. I think it's 14 or 20, it's one of the two, and prior to the hearing, and it says may. It doesn't say shall, except since it's a one-person annexation, it's not multiple people being annexed. So it's just one property owner. Mm-hmm. So it says may instead of shall. So I've been trying to discern everything to make sure we're doing it properly, or hopefully notifying the neighboring property owners properly also, because it really kind of hasn't, from what I've been told. So I'm just trying to pull some Facebook assumptions on this issue. So I think, by what you said tonight, I'm grateful for what you said that, because it's just an application.
Yeah. So, a couple of things to keep in mind with that. First is the actual annexation of itself. It is a super voluntary, meaning that 100% of the property owners are requesting annexation in the city. There is a process for that, and that there is a different process if it's, let's say, 75% sign or 51% sign, right? So it depends on the process. It's just 100% voluntary. Second thing is again, to your point, is keep in mind that it's an acceptance of property as is. There's no development on it, right? Whereas any development would go through, to your point, go through plan commission, if there's a BZA, anything like that. But that would all go through, and that would definitely have a, as again, you guys have been on plan commission for long enough to know this, but for the public to know, that would be something where they would, any kind of change in zoning or anything like that, they would have to notify all of the adjacent property owners and
things of that effect. Like you said, I was trying to address some concerns against some of the stuff that was on social media.
Sure.
That was throwing some stuff out there. I'm like, that's not what's happening here. So, some of them were afraid about being annexed. And I said, it has to be, the humblest has to be voluntary now, because it is so difficult to, if somebody doesn't want it.
Yeah, I'll say what I've said for a long time, and that's that we have not forcibly annexed anyone in the last 30 plus years. I have no interest and intent, and I know the council is the same way, to forcibly annex anybody into the city limits.
Right.
We have done 100% voluntary annexation. Every annexation I've ever done has been 100% voluntary. So we will not be doing that. At least I don't have any plans to do that, let's say it that way, and I'm committed to that. But also, I think there will be checkpoints along the way here. Like I said, obviously, we have a public hearing. We'll have two ordinance readings. Then any kind of development would be at the Planning Commission point as well.
Sure.
So, yeah, and I appreciate that. And just for notation on this or any other matter tonight, there will be time at the end of this meeting for public comment. We'll probably limit that to a certain time period because of how many people are here, just for the sake of time. But I guess overall, I'll just say that that there will be appropriate time periods during this process for individuals to give feedback on those kind of matters. Yeah, great. Anything else from the council on the annexation? Okay, so we'll keep moving then. Next up on the agenda is department reports. So, Chip, we'll go to you.
I've been assisting with the annexation. I gave Public Works an update. We are slowly moving forward on getting a sewer out to 100 South and 300 North, and we are working through the process of that. Tree board, we had a little accident and cut a wrong tree, so that's kind of a good day. And
you said it was, you said in board it was incorrectly marked.
It was incorrectly marked, so, and there was a lot of red flags that should have been caught by multiple of us, and not my fault at all. Electric's fault, 100%. So. No, other than that, just plugging along.
Questions of Chip?
Thank you, Terry.
We had a network scheduled outing two Sundays ago to update all of our Cisco switches, the firewall, and our phone system. Everything went well with that. We didn't have any issues with that. Thanks, Sean, for helping us get a new microphone in the conference room for the podium to hopefully make the recordings a little bit better than they have been. That's all I have.
Questions of Terry? Thank you. Sean?
So today we assisted the Noble County Highway Department with some trees that were out on 700 North, right on the county line, that bordered some of our power lines. Chance they could have came down on the power lines, and the Noble County wanted them down as well because they were dying. They were afraid they were going to fall on the road, so we assisted them with that project. It was a good group project. It helped both of us out, and so appreciate their help on that. I did update our full attachment agreement today for our annual CPI adjustment. We adjust those rates every year per inflation, so that got that done, got that through today. I think she reviewed it, and I think everything was good there. Had a meeting with Casey Jones, formerly CNR Plating, about kind of a trend down in their usage. Found out that they're transitioning their business a little bit. They're adding more machines. They're looking to get back into three shifts out there, so that's great news. We're going to do everything we can to work with them on their billing to keep them active and while they do this transition. So assist them. They've been a customer and partner of ours for 40, 50 years now, so we're looking to do everything we can to keep them around. It's a great company. And also, I'd just like everybody to welcome Adam McKinney, our new mechanic. City mechanic is in the crowd. So he took over for Brad Locke a couple weeks ago. Made a lot of good changes so far. So he's doing a great job, and we appreciate having him on board.
Questions of Sean? Thank you. Mike?
I've updated all three of our weather stations at the first of the year. All the facility, all the sensors and flow meters have been calibrated for an NPDES permit. I've been working on the SDI annual report, the annual EPA sludge report, and my staff replaced and calibrated an LAL sensor on our dice department.
Question of the mic. Thank you. Mike?
The 12-inch water main that comes down the alley there at Madison Street, we had a new 12-inch valve installed there. February 1st, we'll have an 8-inch valve installed at Whitley and Ellsworth Street. We're still going around and checking, making, you know, the valves to see which ones are bad and not working.
Questions of Mike? Thank you, Mike. Tom?
well, our new mechanic that is present. I thought he was coming here to support me on telling you that he found some coolant leaking and some oil leaking from our engine. I thought, boy, he's dedicated. But he's got a few things on our engine that he's going to order parts for and replace, so I appreciate the forward thinking and the detail-oriented thinking that he did and started looking into all of our equipment in a way to make sure that it lasts longer. So thank you. The Chiefs Association is starting a firefighter 1 and 2 class here in this county. It's going to start in March, which is great news and great timing for us, being we just did a volunteer campaign, so we don't have to send our people out of county to get that training, and it's kind of a joint effort between all the departments, so it doesn't put the load on one department to offer the training for everybody in the county. So that's a big deal. The trailer that we're redoing is going along nicely. We just got to redeck. We took all the old deck boards off, just got to redeck. It's been rewired, tires replaced, and bearings packed, and we're getting there. And then Trent Stamper, I wish I had an opportunity while he was here to kind of acknowledge him. He has stepped up to the plate. He's taking Inspector 1 class, which is down in Mount Vernon Fire Department. So he's having to drive a ways to get it, but we don't see these classes happen very often. And Chris has put in for the drop program to retire, and he was our only other certified inspector that we had. So having somebody else to take up the reins when Chris retires is a big deal for us.
Question to Tom.
Question, Tom. What apparatus has got the leak?
101.
Okay.
We kind of been smelling it for a while, but he took the time and figured out where it was coming from, and also noticed that while he's in the process and has it torn down, he's going to go ahead and fix a few oil leaks it has as well.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions at all? Thank you. Kelly.
Board of Works meeting tonight. We had a bid opening for Community Crossings paving project for this year. Engineer's estimate was around $800,000, and bids came in like half of that, so that was pretty exciting to hear that. And we've had some equipment issues. We had to fix plows and some salt spreaders, and got the parts in from W.A. Jones, and our guys, with the help of the mechanic, got those fixed up, and we're preparing for what's coming next. So I appreciate Adam's help to the mechanic back there with us and the job he's doing so far. It's been good working with him.
Question to Kelly.
Kelly, did you buy a lot of extra coffee for tomorrow?
Yeah, we're stocked up. Start ready to go.
By the pot tonight? Though.
Yeah. Just spoonfuls.
Extra strong, Kelly.
Extra strong.
Make sure it's the crunchy kind.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Thank you. Mark.
Yeah, so my guys have gone back by the pond in Morse Park, and the overlook is back there. It's been in pretty bad shape, so they're rebuilding that. It'll be really nice when it's done. So it's been very unsturdy for years, and so nice to be able to get that done. The Father Daughter Dance is coming up soon. We're still selling tickets in our office right now for that. We have 40 left for Saturday night and 150 left for Friday night. So out of 800 tickets, we sold 600, around 600. We have started making new signs for Mayor Park, and I've been meeting with JPR quite a bit to still talk about the planning of Eagle Park and getting ready to bid that, hopefully in the next couple months. And then online registration begins next Monday for baseball and softball.
Question to Mark. Thank you, Mark. Marcia? Rosie?
Nothing.
Chief Parrott had sent in his report. He would be with us tonight, but he is doing administering the physical and written test for potential new police officers to fill some of the vacancies that we have. They've been working on SOPs both in the police department as well as in the dispatch. Officer Campbell and Thomas are on their third week at ILEA, at the Law Enforcement Academy. and they had a router go bad in dispatch, but it was covered under maintenance, and then a maintenance contract, and then they had a couple of workstation fans go out, and they were replaced under warranty. So that was Gary's report. A lot of things happening, obviously, in and around the city. Last week, I went to a Mayor's Commissioner's Caucus meeting, and there was conversation about what Ready 2.0. Ready is the regional grant program out of the Indiana Economic Development Corporation, the IEDC. So they're looking at what a 2.0 could look like if it's included in this year's legislative budget, and what that means for us, what kind of projects we could consider, things like that. So talking about that. Yesterday we had some conversations, Chip and I had some conversations with our engineers regarding Westgate and kind of the steps forward. As you may remember, we had kind of a plan of action that ended up coming in around $11 million that we didn't have $11 million. So we're looking at some alternative ways of still addressing the infrastructure challenges, maybe putting in some green infrastructure, things like that, that we can still do it, make it much more financially manageable, but also make sure that the rest of that subdivision gets the upgrades that the first phase got, let's say it that way. We have youth council scheduled for Thursday. We may not have it. We'll see. I will tell you that we have on Thursday scheduled is the city wellness blood draw, so you'll see a lot of our city employees at the Marshall Wellness Clinic. Because we have our annual blood draw every year for that program. And we also have a city awards banquet on Friday night, the 27th. Hope you can join us for that. The next two council meetings, Walt will be leading because I won't be here. The first one, I will be celebrating my 15-year anniversary with my wife. And the second one, I will be in D.C. on behalf of our public power utility in front of IMPA. So I apologize. I tried very hard not to miss two in a row, but at least one of those I don't have a choice. So in any case, so I just want to let you know that. I think that is.
When you get to 33 years, it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Okay, appreciate that. So I think that's all I have for right now. Walt.
At the last meeting, council meeting, we talked about an area of congestion down at Holden and Jeffrey Way and the curb. There's been significant change, so I just wanted to acknowledge, I'm not sure who all was involved. Chief?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Of making that happen. Thank you, Chip. I appreciate it. that has taken care of a safety concern, and we'll just monitor it and see how it goes.
Yep.
So
appreciate that.
That's all I
need. You actually reminded me of something that I do need your approval on. As you may know, I gave you all a letter, ordinance 32.111. It talks about the membership of the Utility Rate Advisory Board, which is the citizens' board that reviews basically our yearly reviews our utility rates and kind of looks at those different pieces. We have an opening in the Northeast District, and I am appointing Karen Rust. I talk about the reasons why, but she has really a pretty good background of seeing both sides of understanding what the utilities do for our city, but also getting yelled at for any of those increases and things like that. So I would ask for a vote of approval to appoint her. Again, as the ordinance states, I appoint, but you have to approve those appointments. So I would ask for an approval of Karen Rust onto that Utility Rate Advisor Board representing the Northeast District.
So moved. Do we accept the?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that like a motion?
Yeah. I need a motion in a second.
Okay. Good.
Tad motioned. Okay. Yes. Tad motioned. Dan seconded. Further discussion. All those in favor, show with the usual sign. It's unanimous of those present. Thank you for that approval. I apologize. I should have done that earlier. Dan.
I have nothing.
Okay. Tad.
Nothing.
Jenny.
Well, I'm guessing a lot of people are here for a post I saw on social media about the chicken.
Okay.
They said a council person was supposed to be bringing that up today, which I wasn't aware of.
Okay.
But
yes, Jennifer was going to mention it, but she was sick and couldn't. So I told her that I would say something.
Yeah, so I got, Jennifer notified me earlier this morning that she was still ill. You may, for those of you that were at the Republican meeting on Saturday, know that she was kind of off by herself because she said that she wasn't feeling great, so that's continued. So yes, and as I told her via text, and I think, I don't know if she told you, but obviously we have no ordinance, we had no ordinance on the agenda to take up tonight, but as always, we reserve time at the end of the meeting for public comment, so, yeah. Anything else, Jen? Okay, for the public, since we have no press here, for the public, if you have something to give to the council or talk to the council about, I'll give you a 5 minutes apiece, and if we need to give more, I can give a little bit more, things like that, but obviously, please be respectful in your dialogue. We look forward to a conversation. Understand, though, that in the public comment period, we can take information. We don't necessarily have to respond. A lot of you have been here before, so you know that. So, so with that, we'll open the floor. Whoever wants to come up, come on up. And I need a name and address, please.
Melanie Love and 113 East Market Street. So I've been a Columbia City resident most of my life, and I know some of you guys have already heard this, but I just wanted to remind you guys again, because this is an important issue to me. And so whether you believe that there's an intentional recent uptick in the destruction of food processing plants or not, the truth is in 2019 alone, more than 2,000 fires occurred in agricultural, grain, livestock, refrigerated storage facilities, and nearly 15 occur each day. At least once a month, there's some new recall involving salmonella, E. coli, or some other contaminant in our foods. In the last 2 years, we've seen massive shipping delays and shortages, and the sharp and sudden increase in the price of eggs since we last discussed this subject in the fall should make it abundantly clear that we have a precarious nature in our economy, especially in relation to grocery costs. Food banks are seeing more people in need of their services than ever, and even in good times, they are always lacking meat to be able to supply. All of these issues can be solved or treated through backyard chickens. While store-bought eggs are typically full of antibiotics, preservatives, steroids, and added hormones, eggs from chickens given space to peck for food are more nutritious, containing twice as much vitamin E and long-chain omega-3 fatty acids, which can help lower cholesterol levels. And this is according to a 2010 Cambridge University study. A good do-it-yourselfer can build a coop for under $100 thanks to tools like Pinterest and YouTube, and ready-made coops are not hard to find. While the cost of feed, like everything else, has risen, many options exist to cut that cost down, including cost-sharing between families, which would also help build a more neighborly and cooperative community, and supplementing feed with table scraps and fenced foraging. Chickens are omnivores and will eat almost anything from a kitchen and or garden, including snails, grasshoppers, flies, mealworms, mosquitoes, ants, spiders, termites, and ticks. Even better, they don't eat honeybees, but they will eat colony-threatening hive beetles, which helps protect our ever-threatened but necessary bee population. Utilizing chickens as a natural waste disposal system not only cuts down on kitchen trash output, but their droppings are high in nitrogen when mixed with sawdust and create an excellent fertilizer. Chickens can help with aerating soil and weeding, and they take very little upkeep, basically just clean food and water. Chickens can make social and affectionate pets. Most chicken owners agree that they are wildly entertaining with their own personalities, and they're even capable of getting the kids outside and away from the video games. Additionally, city chickens would provide more kids in the community with 4-H opportunities, and 4-H has been proven to grow life skills like confidence, independence, resilience, and compassion through the hands-on experiences and responsibilities gained in their programs. As a rural community with such a large and supportive turnout each year for the 4-H fair, it's actually odd and a little bit sad that many kids in our community can't be as involved in agriculture as they potentially could. Children learn through so much more than what they experience in a classroom, and robbing them of the experience of raising their own food is doing them a disservice in the life lessons that they have the opportunity to learn. The forced reliance on grocery stores and food banks is a major mistake that needs correction as soon as possible. Having chickens on a person's personal property, especially in cases where it does not adversely affect one's neighbors, should be a right and not a privilege that must be fought to have permission for.
Thank you. Anybody else like to speak? Hearing none, thank you for attending. We will call the meeting adjourned. Thank you.